Hey guys, welcome. This is Grace, and we are here at the Witch's Table, just having some conversation about magic, intention, and different themes. I am going to introduce you to my good friend and mentor. Her name is Willissa. Hi, Willissa.
Hi, this is Willissa Spellsong, and I'm a witch. I'm also a third degree Wiccan High Priestess. And we have another lady with us. Her name is Lisa, but she's not well today. She'll be joining us on the 17th.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about the Witch's New Year. And that begins on November 1st.
Yes.
Yes. So this time is all about setting intentions, planning for the new year. It's also a very good time for some introspection.
Right. If we want to look at the definition of intention, the definition of intention is a thing intended, an aim or a plan. So we talk about intention like it's something that's wishful or hopeful, something that we're going to do in the future, but we don't put anything behind it. We just think about it like a thought. And what we do in our lives is we make these grandiose plans, but sometimes we forget, what did I intend in the first place? What was it that I was seeking in the first place? We sometimes lose sight of what we're seeking. And this time of year, it's really easy to get stuck in that cycle because it's the dark time of year. It's the new year. November 1st is the witch's new year because all things come from the darkness. And here we are in the darkness, in the time of rest, in the time where everything is dying and fading. The earth is drawing her energy back into her. The sun is falling low in the sky. And we're running around making holiday preparations. At the same time, we're trying to put forward some grand intention. And all of that gets muddled up together and nothing actually materializes.
Definitely. I think that for me, intention setting is the most important part of this time of year for me. Really helps to get everything, and you even helped me with this, putting actual time frames with your intentions. Is this something that is going to actually be accomplished in the next year? Is it going to take me a couple weeks, a couple months, or even a few years? So that way you can hold yourself accountable with your intention and keep yourself on the right track throughout the year as different things come up, as they surely will.
Right. And if you are looking at an intention, are you in a place where you even should be looking at, what do I intend for the future? You know, maybe a very simple example, maybe you're wanting to throw a party on Saturday, but your house is a complete disaster. So the intention of wanting to throw a party doesn't serve you. It also doesn't serve your guests. It doesn't serve your life. What needs to happen first is some clearing away. And the dark time of the year, the period of time between now and actually in bulk, February 1st, is a time of clearing away. It's a time of darkness, a time of release. It's a time when you can engage in some deep healing work for yourself. So you want to think about, how do I need to clean house physically and emotionally and spiritually? What types of releasing activities can I do? Can I sit with my journal? Can I sit in meditation and really think upon, how did this past year go? Where was I successful? Where was I not successful? And take all of that apart and really chew on it. Don't just set it aside, toss that calendar out and grab the new calendar because you're trying to start over. Well, you're starting over on a messy foundation. Mm-hmm. So you want to use your intention for taking a good look at what needs to be swept away, what needs to be brought out of the shadows, mm-hmm. in order for you to even think about, what are the first steps in creating that intention?
Definitely. And also, like you said about you don't just pitch the old calendar out and move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't hit all the intentions you planned for, you can still look at what you actually did right and what you did accomplish, mm-hmm. and use that as your strategy going forward, saying, hey, this worked for me, maybe this didn't, and you change your approach, and that way you have a more controlled foundation versus starting from the ground up every single year.
Definitely. And I think we see that in the folly of mankind. If we look at what's happening in the world right now, we're on the edge of war in many countries. The atomic clock is at, I think, 90 seconds to midnight or something like that. Mm-hmm. And how did we get here? It's because we tossed that calendar out and we put on our bright, shiny new clothes and we step out into the future thinking it's all going to be different. But we've never spent that time in contemplation. We've never allowed ourselves to rest, to step back, to evaluate what did not work, to evaluate what did work, mm-hmm. and to reassess our own personal ego in the matter. A lot of times we're ego-driven, and that ego gets in the way of our being able to think straight about what is it that we really want, and does that make a difference for ourselves or for others? The ego jumps out there with a giant sword and messes everything up, and then we do the whole thing over again the next year, and then we wonder why we're 90 seconds from midnight. So don't throw the calendar out. Go back, look at January, look at your calendar, look at what you wrote in there, look at the appointments you had, look at the people that you spoke with, think about the meetings or the lunches you had or an argument that you had, or a really good time that you had when you did this activity or that activity, and evaluate all of that. Find out what's valuable and take a good look at yourself in terms of the things that didn't work. Really dig at that. You know, go sit in your quiet, safe place and really evaluate, okay, how do I do this better next time? How do I not hurt people? How do I stand up for myself and exercise my rights and not allow myself to be taken advantage of? Really give yourself that time, especially in the next 6 to 8 weeks, to really dig into those hard conversations, because then with the rising sun at Yule, that extra little spark of energy, you can begin thinking about what your intentions might be after you've had time to clear away the things that are in the way.
Yes, and also that's nice that we're touching on the Yule part and the rising sun. That is our guide when we're living in tune with the natural cycles of Earth and nature in a harmonious way. When we have that rising sun, that is our sign, okay, we can now begin to take that focused action. Now is the time to start working towards these things. And I think a lot of times we are so conditioned in the modern world to always be 100%, always be working on something, going here, doing business, just working ourselves into the ground. When if we learned how to channel that more in tune with the cycles of nature, it would be a lot more self-sustaining.
Exactly. And, you know, this is the witch's table. So we're witches and we need to behave like witches. And the foundational thing that identifies a person as a witch, other than their psychic abilities, is their relationship to the earth. And we live in what I call the Muggle world from the Harry Potter series. I love that word. But we live in that Muggle world and we get stuck there. We want to remember that we are witches and that we feel and understand the energies of the air, the energies of the fire, the water, and the earth. And if you look at those energies now, which ones are predominant and what are they doing? And how do we ride with that cycle? The air is predominant in the winter. It's rising, it's cold, it's blowing things away. Just watch the leaves blow down the road or blow across your yard. It's releasing, it's clearing, And that's what we want to be focused on. The earth herself is growing cold, growing quiet, pulling her roots in, drawing in the nutrients from the plants that died throughout this fall period of time. So that's what we want to be doing as well, spending that time in contemplation, drawing into us what is nurturing and sustaining to get us through the winter. And we sometimes forget that as witches.
Definitely. And another thing that's easy to kind of fall to the wayside amidst the hustle and bustle is remembering that everything does go through those cycles. The earth, the sun, the moon, and all at different increments of time. So learning how to master those in your own life is something that can be really helpful when it comes to doing what you need to do.
Exactly. The passage of time is, well, it's all we have as human beings. Our whole life revolves around this passage of time. We have clocks and calendars, and all of that is made up. But what we do have that's real is the cycles of time in the moon and the cycles of time in the sun. We still see examples of that all throughout the world in the ancient ruins, in the temples and the standing stones that were erected to track the stars, to track the sun, to track the moon, because that's how they lived their life. They lived their life according to the agricultural cycle. There were times of great effort and great work, and then there were times of hunkering down and taking advantage of the sustenance that you had created and experiencing that and being quiet and being still and being contemplative. Those are all parts of the natural cycle. We just came out of an eclipse on the 25th of October. And eclipses, why don't you talk about eclipses, Grace? Because I liked the way you described that.
So eclipses are somewhat more rare astrological event. It can happen with the sun or the moon. So usually you'll see them back to back. You'll see a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse. With the solar eclipse, what it does is it's the part of you or the part of life that never really sees the light of day is being brought to the light in the direct sunlight. And so it's a really good opportunity to dig all of these hidden things out of the unknown and the subconscious, these unconscious patterns that are working against us. We can bring them to the light and begin to see how we can shift that. Same thing with the lunar eclipse. I feel like this one, instead of being more that light solar energy related, when we're looking at the lunar energy, it's going to be more emotional. So bringing those hidden emotions to the surface that maybe we didn't realize we've been carrying. So especially when we're looking at the Taurus and Scorpio axis, it's a lot of like deep inner creature comforts and the things that we hide about ourselves, our shadow selves. So it's a very good time to dig deeper into yourself like we've been talking about.
Yeah, I was reading online about the eclipses that are coming up. And we have another one in November, on November 8th. And it's connected to the magic of the recent Scorpio solar eclipse on the 25th that Grace was just talking about. And these eclipses are part of 7 eclipses taking place in Taurus and Scorpio between November of 2021 and October of 2023. So we have another whole year of this cycle of eclipses between Taurus and Scorpio, which allows us to take a look at how we balance our creature comforts. That's Taurus. The need for luxury, comfort, yummy food, warmth, companionship. And how do we balance that with Scorpio? The need to really dig into our psyche, to really dig into those hidden places, those deeply buried wounds. So it's a nice contrast because we can get into Taurus and heal and feel safe and do things that make us feel good. And then we can flip back to Scorpio when we're ready and dig some more, pull out another trunk from the closet and open it up and see what is in there that needs to be poked at, needs to be evaluated and released. So we can ride that wave, I guess, of eclipses between now and next October and use those Taurus Scorpio energies to help us to be stable and grounded while we really do some deep work for ourselves and hopefully for our humanity.
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of, at least for me and my path, that's what it comes down to, is I'd like to think that by doing this work on myself, it's having a ripple effect on the collective. So that's kind of what keeps me going with it.
Yeah, I took my third degree initiation. Third degree is not about you. It's about who you are for the path. It's who you are for Wicca. It's who you are for humanity. What are you going to do with your gift and your talent? So very much like Grace said, I decided to take the third degree more than a decade ago because I wanted to teach and I wanted to make a difference and I wanted to help move people forward. So it's just an important thing to think about when you're looking at your intentions and when you're looking at what do I need to clear away in order to be my best self, so that when I begin to firm up that intention, when I begin to draw out what are the steps that I actually need to do in the physical world to bring this intention to light, you'll be ready to do that.
Exactly. Well, that's all very good stuff coming up. It's really nice to just kind of energetically take a break from so much doing, tying up the loose ends with everything, and just having this time to reflect.
Yeah, reflection is the most important thing. When I teach, the first class is about meditation. Going into that place of quietness to shut your mind down, to be able to set aside your worries and your stresses so you can be open to the promptings of your spirit guides, to the promptings of your deity, to your own subconscious wisdom. And this is the time to engage in that type of practice, in a meditative practice, a mala practice, just a sitting and staring at nothing for 5 minutes can be very refreshing, very rejuvenating. Allow yourself to stop. We don't allow ourselves to stop and be still. Remember that we're trying to pace our lives with the natural cycles. Allow yourself to be engaged in the natural cycle. It's the time of death. It's the time of resting. Allow yourself to rest so that the intentions will actually be able to be formed and created when it's time to do that work.
Exactly. So that's all I've got for the Witch's New Year. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and being here and holding this space.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you. We'll see you back on the 17th. For anybody with questions on any of the material we've covered or any feedback as far as maybe some topics you would like us to tackle in this podcast series, you can reach out to me directly. My Instagram handle is probably the best way to get a hold of me. That is at the Oracle. It is spelled AURACLE 333. So the Oracle 333. I can also be reached via email at glowingwithgrace@gmail.com. Spelled normally, no spaces or symbols or anything. And Willissa can also be reached by email. Her email is Willissa Spellsong. That is WellyssaSpellsong@gmail.com. Thank you.